Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Well, we got a great show planned for you today. Hot Datsun talk.
Oh, yeah.
Roadster talk.
Roadster talk.
Not 510, not Z talk.
I like Roadster.
Surprising Roadster talk with a very harrowing story where I almost got killed in the Roadster. First, betonline.ag. NFL, college, now MLB playoff action. Visit betonline.ag to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Use promo code PODCAST1 for a 50% sign-up bonus. Matchups in week five, we got Baltimore at Pittsburgh and Green Bay, Dallas, Indy at KC. Lots of good games to choose from. We got a $500 in rewards to give out each week to five listeners and 5,000 season-long charity contests. Join the conversation on Twitter at hashtag SportsNet. Challenge, and let's see. My lock will be New England at Washington. I predict 42-14, so take that one to the bank. Use the promo code PODCAST1. Receive a 50% sign-up bonus today. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice, baby. Got a mandate. Get it on. Welcome to CarCast. I'm Adam Corliss. Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea.
Hello. Over there.
Sorry, my voice is a little wanky. I've been traveling and talking and traveling.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my job.
Yeah.
Talk and travel, travel and talk. So, thanks for joining us. I have car thoughts.
Yeah.
Sure you do as well. Current projects, working on a couple BRE cars, the Roadster and the 510. The Roadster is, I guess, a team car, and the 510 is a privateer car.
Right. The Roadster we've been talking about a long time, the one you guys have seen, there's another Roadster now. This is the second Roadster in the your BRE collection.
The BRE, Pete Brock, still sending me emails. Mm-hmm. Awesome stuff. They did a sort of blue and white scheme and a red and white scheme, and they did the same with their 510s as they did with their Roadsters.
Yeah.
They had the 510 with the red hood, I think 46. Was it 46? Yeah. That's the one that's in the museum. Then they had the blue hooded one. That's the one I have. And they did the same with the Roadster. I have the blue hooded Roadster and the red hooded Roadster. The blue hooded one is the one you've seen me drive before, and the red hooded one is in a million pieces. But I think those are the only two Roadsters.
I think so.
And they're cool because they're cool pieces. And in a weird way, everyone loves the 510s. But the Roadster, in a weird way, is a more interesting piece. The 2000, not the 1600.
Yeah.
They came with a 5-speed, which is, you know, you're talking about 1968, 1967, 69. It's a car with a 5-speed.
Yeah.
The
but
Z,
they're oddly full frame cars.
Yeah, the Z's. The Z's came with a 4-speed. years later. You know, yeah. Or some years later. I'm guessing the 510s all had 4-speeds, but the Roadster had a 5-speed, had a 2-liter 4-cylinder versus a 1.6 or 1.8.
Yeah.
And like a big racy head, and it was not an L motor. The Z's are L, 2400 and L18 and L16, where this is a U, which is a little different configuration. So, but those cars pull hard, and And yes, they have a full frame, so they have like a truck frame.
Yeah.
And they have a straight live rear axle.
Yeah.
And they have drum brakes in the rear, which they all had. But they haul ass, and they're fun to drive. And I learned this lesson years ago. The first car I ever bought, like the first fun car I ever bought, was a very used 240Z. And I just wrenched on it and experimented. And I just had all these. Remember, you'd have all these goofy plans for your car?
Yeah.
About what you're going to do to it. Stupid rims, stupid paint, like stupid ever. Like you're going to just keep. And all I would do is sort of like, I sort of had the same relationship with the Z as I had with Playboys, which is I would go babysit and I knew the two kids I babysit, their dads had Playboys. And my dad didn't have Playboys. My dad's a weird dude. Like my dad doesn't. I don't think you could find.
He never had a Playboy. Nobody even gave him one. I know he didn't buy one, right?
If you walked into my dad's house at any point in his adult life,
yeah,
you could not look around his house. Now, it wouldn't take you long to look around his house because his house was always like 600 square feet or his shitty little apartment. You could not find a bottle of scotch, a bottle of vodka, a bottle of wine, a beer, a Playboy, a tool, a cigar, like no drugs, like some reefer.
Yeah.
Like, there was literally, if you went into my dad's house, you'd just search the whole house and you'd be like, does a 9-year-old just live here alone?
Yeah, like right? There's no vices at all?
There's nothing. There's nothing. I swear to God, he didn't own.
He didn't have one vice, like a pipe. He smoked a pipe.
For a little period of time, I think he smoked a cigar for a small period of time. But other than that, there was nothing in the house. You couldn't find a steak. You couldn't find a bottle of scotch. You couldn't find a Playboy. Yeah. You couldn't find anything. There was nothing. It's just, my dad just lived in a house.
Maybe other things turned him on.
I don't know.
Maybe a 14-inch black and white TV did it for him.
But I think it was 13, but I used to go and I would babysit for these two guys named Reevy and Ronnie, and then my neighbor too, and I'd babysit. And the dads had like the Playboy, like somewhere like in the bathroom under the sink or something where dads kept Playboys. And I would just be 13. I would just stare at this Playboy. I would just stare at it. I was like, God, one day, or what could I do?
On the job? You were on the job.
I was on the job. Well, the kids went to bed. I'd have, Love Boat and Fantasy Island to watch. Yeah. I'd just be sitting there on the sofa watching TV and just staring at Playboy. But I had the same with my Z car later. It's like I just look at it. And I'd be like, I want to do something. But I don't have any money. I don't have any tools.
Yeah.
And I just like, I want to get a turbocharger and I want to build an engine and stuff like that. And I had nothing. I had like no money. I had no tools. I had no garage.
What was your car porn? Was there a magazine or a book or a Cadillac or a catalog? It was like a Hot Rod magazine or a Summit Racing catalog or a Jegs catalog that you'd flip through. Probably not too much of that.
I got the how to hot rod your 240Z and 510 and whatever the sort of iconic. What is that book, Max Zapata?
How to hot rod?
No, it's soft. It's soft cover, but it's thick, and it's like how to hot rod your Datsun 240Z. I think it said hot rod, whatever. And the picture of it is a BRE 510, like on the cover. And I just sit there and look at like triple Weber setups for the.
Yeah,
triple Weber setups for the.
Oh yeah, had a hot rod and race in your Datsun,
right?
Oh, I guess so. Maybe it had a little bit of instructional driving thing to go along with the mods you do.
The picture is the 46 John Morton car at what I would assume is a track that is.
No,
they tell me you can tell it's Road Atlanta because you can see the clay.
Okay.
So if you see like the orange clay around the side of the track or the berm that like Paul Newman hit in his 510 and blah, 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 then you'll know It's Road Atlanta. So I'm assuming it's Road Atlanta because of the sort of orange looking clay, but I don't know. And there's John Morton. And I was like, oh man, I could hot rod my Z and I would just stare at the pictures and they'd be showing the Weber setup and they'd be showing the parts. You know what I mean? But parts, yeah, like the triple Weber setup. That was like, you know, $900 or something. It's like I would just stare at it and stare at it. But
those are racing parts then. That's it. It's all racing parts. There was no like aftermarket stuff. It wasn't like you're going to buy, Bilstein coilovers. You'd have to do the racing.
You put racing parts on your street car. But so at some point, my buddy Snake, he bought a Roadster, pale yellow. Datsun made a weird pale yellow 2000 Roadster. This thing, bone stock, you know, hubcaps on it, like had a little luggage rack, you know, on the trunk, you know, like just flat out bone stock 2000 Roadster.
Yeah.
And I drove my Z over to his house in North Hollywood. And I was like, yeah, it's a cute little pea shooter. And he's like, this car hauls ass. And I was like, yeah, but it's no Z car, you know, cause look at my car. I got a Z car and, you know, it's all racy and everything.
Yeah.
And you got this little fun little chick car, you know?
It looks like a little roadster. That's it. It just looks kind of like.
My car has like mags on it and yours has like 5-inch steel rims with hubcaps. And we proceeded to have drag races up and down his street.
Like, okay.
And he beat me every time. Now, looking back on it, it was probably because he had the 5-speed and I had the 4-speed. Possibly. But he just beat me every time. Yeah. I was like, that car hauls ass. Another time, he was driving up Laurel, and or I think he was coming down Laurel, and some guy in a kind of like first-gen RX-7 like pulled up next to him.
But
an RX-7 at that point, like 1984, was like a modern supercar versus a Zeke versus the 2000 Roadster.
Yeah, during for the Roadster, yeah.
They raced down Laurel.
Sort of side by side? How do you do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Side by side. I was in a car behind him, so I was like following him, but I caught up. He beat him in the 2000 Roadster. Bone stock. The RX-7 ended up over the curb through a wrought iron fence and on a lawn of an apartment.
Yeah.
So I don't know what happened, but that guy lost it.
The guy lost it.
Went over the curb. Another time. So I was like, the picture on the book is Road Atlanta. So says Max Zapata.
If you look at this other shot of these Datsuns at Road Atlanta, that's the same turn.
Right.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Sneaky.
Good.
Sleuthing?
Sleuthing, I was going to say.
Good sleuthing.
Yeah. So I had immense respect for that car, like early on.
I'm
like, that's no pea shooter. That's a cool car. And then the cars I have were BRE cars that, you know, Frank Moniz won the West Coast Championship. And I can't remember what the other one is. I don't know. Maybe Max Paddock can look. And I think Morton drove them too.
Yeah.
The scariest time I ever had in a car was in a 2000 Roadster, which was not racing the 2000 Roadster at Laguna Seca. The scariest time I ever had was Snake had his Roadster once again. He had some clutch problem with it, and he took it to the mechanic, and they replaced the clutch. And it was like gone for like 3 weeks. Like, remember when you'd have to dump your car off somewhere and just be gone? And nobody had Uber or a rental car or
cell phone
or like, hey, dad, I need to borrow your second car. Like, there wasn't any of that. It's like,
send him an email going, what's the status?
you'd dump your car off at the mechanic and the guy'd be like, oh, we don't stock those parts. Like, that throwout bearing's got to come from Japan. It's going to take a while and whatever. And you'd just be walking for like 2 weeks. Like, you didn't have a car. Like, you dump your car off somewhere. There was no Uber. I never took a taxi cab. Taxi cabs were too expensive.
Yeah.
Uber didn't exist. I didn't have credit cards or AAA. You couldn't rent a car for a week and like have your insurance pay for it. There was no insurance. There was no nothing. So it's just like for that, for like 2 weeks, like if you had a buddy who had a motorcycle or something, he'd lend it to you for 2 weeks, or someone was out of town and you could like commandeer their car, or you'd have somebody, you just like Russ at work, the drywaller, he'll pick you up on the way in to the job.
Yeah,
like
a that, lot of that. A lot
there's
of,
a lot of like negotiating. You got to pick up that dude.
Yeah.
Like, when's the last time you picked up some dude? There was a whole life around picking up dudes who didn't have cars, whose cars were broken, who was like, you know. So he dropped his car. Anyways, car was in there for like 3 weeks. And
it sat for 2 weeks and six days.
I'm sure. At some point, he got it back. He got the new clutch. Yeah. He was happy about it. And we're going that night to a party. And we're going up Wrightwood, which is a street. You got to look up Wrightwood in Studio City. So Wrightwood is this street that goes up. It like makes its way up to Mulholland, and it's like off of kind of Laurel and Cahuenga and whatever. It's a weird, windy, hilly street. Super windy and narrow that just goes up the backside on the valley side of the San Fernando Valley and up over, it'll get you to, you can, it's like taking a secret back trail to get up to Mulholland, like if you're going over the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And we're driving up that thing.
Yeah, we're looking at the picture of it. It's and, you nice, know, good squiggly line.
Ray is like sitting in the front seat, so I'm in the boot. There is no back seat in a Roadster.
Yeah.
You have to sit sideways on a package shelf.
Right.
Now, their seats are all the way back, so my legs can't even go.
No, you have to, you literally sit sideways. Like, you'd have to.
You sit sideways
your legs
on a package
driver
shelf.
And you're sitting behind the passenger and you're squished back there.
And Snake is going up the hill, and it's there's one part of Wrightwood that gets really bendy and really steep. It just gets, it's really steep. And he's going, and the clutch starts slipping. Like, as he's getting up this steep hill, it's like slipping. It's got me and Ray. It's got like 400 pounds extra dude in it. And the car, and it's slipping. And Snake's pissed. He's like, God damn it. I just got this thing back from the shop and it's basically doing what it was doing before. Yeah. And it's slipping and it's slipping. And at a certain point, we're like coming to a stop because it's just slipping. And he goes, God damn it. And he throws it in reverse. And drops the clutch. Of course, immediately we start going backwards because we're just coasting hard.
Yeah. So he didn't mean to get.
Oh, he did.
Oh, he did. Okay.
He was pissed.
Okay.
He throws in reverse. He punches it. He drops the clutch. Now that we're not going up the hill with all the weight in the car, now we got all the weight going down the hill. And now that we're moving, the clutch is kind of engaging now.
Yeah.
And he's punching it. And he's going backwards down. Wrightwood, down this windy, like at night, like looking over his shoulder and stuff. Like, God damn it. He's cussing the whole time. Right. Like, he's just driving angry. I'm sitting in the boot. Like, I'm like.
Trying not to block his vision, I hope.
We go about 200 feet of just whining, like him cussing and bitching and like yelling at the transmission shop. God damn it. And at some point, he just grabs the e-brake and whips it around, and the car just boom, on a narrow street, like not on a wide part or anything. When he whipped it around, there's probably a foot and a half of play on each side of the bumper between the curb. Just whips around now and then pops it in first gear, and we just go down the hill.
It says nothing else. That's it. He's done.
Nothing else. Later on, I owned a Roadster. And got like a roll bar welded into it, and then bought an old Roadster off of my buddy Umgad Abu Zamzam, who was like hot rodding it in the valley. So I had a kind of history with Roadsters.
Yeah.
And I always thought they were cool piece. And I still think they're like a little undervalued. I don't care about the 1600s. They have like a pushrod iron head or something on them. Mm-hmm. Like, not that interested. Get the 2000 for sure. But I don't know where they're at with Bring a Trailer, but if you look at the scattergram on Bring a Trailer with 2000 Roadsters, they must be creeping up. They are a cool piece.
Yeah.
And compared to your Spitfires and your MGs and your Triumphs and your stuff like that. Those cars are all sort of four-banger, pushrod, kind of four-speed kind of slugs.
Yeah.
The Roadster's kind of hauls ass.
Yeah, and it's great on the track, too. Like you're saying, it's great in race trim, and it's fun to see out there, and it scoots. It scoots.
Well, that car, you know, when I was racing with Martin and his Alpha buddies, those guys are super experienced drivers on that track. I don't think anyone could argue that. And they're driving well-prepared Alfa Romeos. No one can argue with a well-prepped GTA or GTV full race prep car. And that Roadster hung with them just fine.
Yeah.
And eventually got past them even. So that's a good car.
It looks like the Roadster's doubled in the last 5 years.
Yeah, really?
You know, maybe 10 to 12 grand, maybe now in the 20s.
And a few up there in the, God, what looks like the 50s or something.
It's 35,000.
Oh, is that 35?
Yeah,
sorry.
35.
Can't see it from here.
Ooh, 1,600 too.
What? No. What's the dealio?
And then,
Yeah, the highest 2,000 is this one, Kalen. It's 34,000.
34,000 for 2,000.
Boy, the 1,600 for 35,000, it must be some story.
Yeah,
it must
be pretty nice.
Must be pretty nice. But either way, they're cool. They're cool pieces. They have kind of a nice kind of Euro interior.
Yeah.
Again, they have a 5-speed, which seems pretty cool. You can do things to them. They got a nice big hood scoop. That the hood scoop is not for the intake. The hood scoop just has a flap in it that pushes all the air to the radiator.
Right. Okay. I gotcha.
It's one of those hood scoops. It's like a hood scoop, but if you go in an inch, you'll see a flap of metal, and it all just directs it down to the
the radiator. Not much grill area on the front of that.
Yeah, but a cool handling. Like again, kind of cool lines, nice interior. Put some rims on it and some mirrors on it, and do some stuff to it. It's a good piece. All right, let me hit Castrol over here. Let's see. Want a chance to win a trip to go to Vegas to see me? And maybe you too, right?
Yeah.
Head to your local AutoZone. Be entered automatically to win with the purchase of Castrol. Pick up 5 quarts, Castrol Edge. Get the STP Extended Life Oil Filter for just $33.99. Use your AutoZone's AutoZone Rewards, that is, to automatically enter to win. 3-day, 2-night Castrol, baby, in Vegas. Come say hi in November. Right, Max Pata?
No purchase necessary to enter to win. Open to residents of the 50 United States, District of Columbia, Puerto Rico. Must be 18 years or older. Sweepstakes valid September 24th to October 21st. Void where prohibited. See your local AutoZone store for more details.
All right. So you went and drove the new Lincoln Corsair.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about it on the show earlier this week. Did a great drive in the Lincoln Corsair. The summary is this. Like, first of all, they put on a nice event. You drive from San Francisco to Monterey. We stayed at Carmel Valley Ranch. And just, you know, overall, just like Lincoln's kind of up their game. The luxury level, they make a nice vehicle. The Lincoln Navigator that we've driven several times, we love. And the Aviator is the 3-row midsize.
Hey, I don't know what sales are doing, and maybe it's just me, but I walked my dog around my neighborhood and 4 years ago, I saw a lot more Mercedes Utes and a lot more Land Rover, Range Rovers, you know, that stuff. I'm seeing a lot more Lincoln now. I feel like, I don't know, maybe it's Matthew McConaughey. And I don't, again, I don't know what sales. Sales are sort of like, I tell people all the time, like, you can talk about your show being popular. You can talk about numbers. You can talk about overnights and demographics and all that. If your show's popular, when you walk through an airport, people will stop you and say hi or say things. If your show's not popular, no one will say that. You can show me all the numbers you want, but I'll tell you, if I can go with you and walk through an airport, any airport in the country, and no one says anything or looks at you or does anything, then your show's not popular. And you can talk like car sales all you want, But it's when you start seeing more of them on the road.
Yeah.
Like more in traffic, more parked in the driveways of nice houses and that kind of stuff.
Well, the design is good. The luxury levels are good. I got to play around with a phone as a key. So we drove around. We'd stop. I'd grab out the phone. They gave us all like phones with the app loaded up so we didn't have to load it on our own phones and like start the car, lock the doors, unlock the cars, do whatever. So you can use the key. You can use the keypad on the door and inside, or the phone app lock and unlock your car.
Would that have benefited me when Lynette went out of town and Gabe put the key for her Tesla on the tire? And then I called Lynette and I said, where is the key? And she said, it's in the cup holder.
Yeah.
And then I smashed it.
When you ran it over?
Yes. Although the car ran. And then later on blocked my car in the garage.
Right.
And then when I later on went to go look for the spare key, I found the leather pouch, but not the fob.
So you had two cars at home and you couldn't drive either one of them.
And then when I called, Lynette to ask her where the key fob is, she suggested that the valet may have stolen it at some point. Would this phone app have benefited me that point?
Problem solved. You could have used the key fob.
Mm-hmm.
You could have used the phone app.
Mm.
And if you ran over your phone and the key, you could walk up to the car, type in your code, get in, type in your other code, starts.
Right.
By the way, if you left your key fob at home, you could still give a code. It'll randomly generate a valet code. The valet could use it. And then when he gives you back the car, code's gone forever. And randomly generates another code.
So now, he's saying I can use my phone app for the Tesla X?
That's right,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, Lynette can.
They have some version of phone as a key as well. But I got to play around with it, and it was great. And it was a fun trip. The Lincoln is nice. And even though the smaller Lincoln, because the small wheelbase is a bumpier ride, they put all sorts of attention into making it comfortable. NVH, noise, vibration, and harshness. They did everything they can to eliminate as much of that as possible. They made a really nice driving, smooth thing. And of course, it's got, because it's Lincoln, even though it's the small Lincoln, heated and cooled seats and massaging seats and the great sound system and noise cancellation in the sound system. It's fantastic.
They've upped their game.
Yeah, it's good.
I was able to use my phone to call Gabe and ask him, why wouldn't you send me a text and tell me that the key was on the tire? Why not just transmit that little piece of information for me when you drop the car off? Does that seem like something you'd want to convey to the person who's going to drive the car? Here's where the key. I've hidden the key somewhere in the car, but I'll leave it up to you.
Oh.
I'll leave it up to you to find it instead of send you a text saying it's on the driver's side tire.
When you use Lincoln's.
Of course, when I called Lynette, she was like, it's in the cup. It's in the cup holder. I was like, okay. Yeah.
So Lincoln's key as a phone as a key.
Imagine if they were in the military. They'd just be bombing themselves. Can you imagine that?
They'd be working in the kitchen.
And by the way, this crime scene is what happens when you take two like-minded folks and put them together. They create a super neutron bomb, a super tornado. Because I did call Lynette and go, "Where is the key?" And she's like, "I told Gabe put it in the cup holder." Like, okay, all right. Gabe didn't hear that part. You guys were sitting 16 inches apart, to be fair. Like, how casual is everybody with everything? You know what I'm saying? Okay.
Yeah. Get a Prius.
Okay. Yeah, or get rid of Gabe. All right. Rick Shad, I hope I'm saying it. Am I saying Shad? Am I pronouncing his name correctly?
Shad.
Rick Shad is executive director of Newport Concourse. I think I just got something. Oh, I just got, I just got an email on this. Rick?
Yes. nice to be with you guys. This is exciting.
Good to be with you. I just, Yeah. So Jay Leno just bought a place out there. Jay Leno is going to be the
small event. Place.
A small place. Yeah. Jay Leno is going to be the event chair. This is a it's so funny. So I woke up this morning. I think I got something from Gooding and Company or something that suggested this was going on. And I was looking at it. And then later on, when I was talking to my guys and they said Newport Concourse, we have a Newport Concourse out here.
Yeah.
And I thought that's what we're talking about.
Oh, that's what I thought we were talking about as well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we should do the Rhode Island part, right?
Newport, Rhode Island.
Yeah.
Right.
I was like, where did Jay bought a house over there? Why did he buy in Newport Beach?
I did the exact same thing. It's in Newport. It's a Newport Concourse. So, yeah. Sorry.
I just asked somebody, too, if they were going to this event. It's like, hey, you guys going to the Newport Concourse? They're like, no, where's that? I was like, Newport.
Yes.
No, they, all right. So our West Coasters over here, this is going on now,
this weekend, right?
Yeah.
It starts on Thursday, actually tomorrow. So we're in the throes of putting it's a motor week. So it's not just, it ends with the Concorde Elegance on Sunday. So it's a full, you know, motoring event. The first one of this size on the East Coast, or definitely in the Northeast. I know Amelia is a great event and there's some other events, but this is a massive new motor week here in Newport, Rhode Island. And it's a very historic place. It was the birthplace of auto racing in America in 1900. So there's a reason to do it here. And I have Donald Osborne, his work is actually the head of the Concours on Sunday, and Jay Leno is our chairman for the week. And I'm here with Justin Bell and who with the Torque Show, who's doing the TV on this thing. We're doing a live simulcast and a whole bunch of different stuff. We have a lot of people coming from the West Coast, a lot of great cars coming from the West Coast, as well as amazing cars from around the world and here in the East. So it's a very, very significant event with different things happening on each day. And we're even having John Legend is playing on Friday night. I've got Kenny Loggins playing on Saturday at our big gala. And it's a whole big thing going on here. And Gooding and Company, as you mentioned, is our auction house, and they'll be doing a full auction here next year. This year they just have private treaty cars on display here. But we have all the big players are here, all the big brands, and we have the greatest class of judges, group of judges for the different classes on Sunday. And we'll be awarding the Best in Show trophy at around 3 o'clock on Sunday. And it's the trophy itself is spectacular, solid sterling silver, 25 inches tall, about 50 pounds. And it's something else. We wish you were out here, Adam. I understand you're going on a cruise.
I am. Otherwise, I would definitely be out there. I was talking to somebody recently about them possibly franchising Goodwood out here and bringing it to the East Coast. And I thought, I like that stuff's popping up all over the place.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to just fill in the country with these great car events. I know.
How many cars come out to your event?
Well, we in the classes, 13 classes, we have 100 cars that'll be judged on Sunday. But there's literally, 1,000 cars out here. There's cars arriving right now. The new C8 Corvette just got here with the huge GM display. We have 13 cars from the Heritage Center, from General Motors. We have cars from the Henry Ford Museum. We have what we think is going to be the largest collection of Bugattis in U.S. history here at Belcourt Mansion. They're all arriving today. Just watched the Corvette Gulf 1 from the 60s just pull in, which was amazing. There are going to be thousands of cars here of all types, makes, years. We're even doing an event similar to the Quail, which we call the Gathering at Rough Point, which is a huge mansion that was Doris Duke's estate, the tobacco heiress. And it's a very elegant garden party with newer cars out there. And we're doing several unveils with Aston Martin, with the Zagato twins. We're doing the Bugatti Chiron Skyview car.
Nice.
Koenigsegg is bringing the Jesko, and also the car that the Allegra, I'm not pronouncing that right, but the one that just broke the speed record is here. So, I mean, it's endless. There's just people are really excited about having something like this on the East Coast. They've wanted it for a long, long time, and we've been working on this project for, the idea started about 5 years ago, and then the investment really started into it about 2 years ago, and that's when we kind of lit the fuse on this thing and started planning it. And you know, anybody who's got the idea of doing a motor week, think twice. It's a lot of work and a lot of money.
We know. Hey, you were saying you just saw the Corvette Gulf 1 pull in. Is that the experimental one that looks sort of like an Indy car? Or is that the next gen one that looks a little Can-Am-y?
I think it's not a 63. It's an off white. It's the off white Gulf one. It's with the huge race history. It's it's a very, very significant car. But we have Paul Newman's Daytona winning car is coming in. Roush is bringing that car.
Roush is bringing the Mustang that nobody's fool Mustang.
Yes.
So that Roush is bringing in so Newman won his class in Daytona in a Roush Mustang that was sponsored by the movie Nobody's Fool.
Yeah,
I believe that's the story. So that's one. So this is quite substantial.
And Jay's doing a couple seminars, which is going to be really amazing. He's doing one with Jay Ward from Pixar, who I know you know, and they're talking in with Michael Simcoe from GM, and just a huge guys talking about the design and how movie cars relate to cars and car designers, and they're going to do a great design symposium, and Jay Leno is leading that with Don Osborne. And then Jay is doing another discussion about the journey of Ford back to winning Le Mans. And they're going to have the Gulf GT here. I mean, not the Gulf, the Ford GT here, that competed and won in Le Mans. And they're telling that whole story, which is going to be an amazing talk that we're doing there, too. And then we have things like America's Cup. We have Roger Penske's team, American Magic, is doing a discussion about bringing America's Cup back to Newport, Rhode Island, which is going to be fascinating.
Rick,
and so
Rick, can I jump in?
There's lots of stuff for everybody.
Which GT40 is that? It's the Mark II one? Do you know the year of the color?
Yeah, Mark II.
That was it McLaren's car, or was it a year after that?
No. I'm sorry. It's the newer one, the one that won recently in the 2020.
Ford GT, but not a GT40.
So. Right. No, not GT40. I'm sorry.
Right. I got it. I got too many car numbers and names bouncing around in my head.
My mind is scrambled with all the cars that are coming in here right now.
Well, I will tell if people want to go to the AudrianConcourse.com. Am I saying Audrian right?
Yeah, AudrianConcourse.com.
Audrian, sorry.
And, they can still get some tickets to come in. A lot of things are sold out, but the great thing about this event is half of this event is for free. So people want to come in and go to the different mansions and see the Bugatti display, see the McLaren display, see Porsche North America, see all these great cars in Lamborghini. They can go and walk on the lawns of the mansions and see those displays for free. And we're really encouraging young people to come in. And that leads me to, on Sunday, for the first time ever, we have a class called the 30 Under 30, which we developed for bringing young people into an actual Concours competition. So you can't be older than 30 years old, and you couldn't spend more than $30,000 on the restoration of your car. And that was encourage families to work on a car together and young people to get into the hobby. And so we have, we have like Skylines, we have Hondas, we have, a great selection of young people's cars, for that class. And that class is going to be judged by Jay Leno and Don Osborne and I think Sandra Button and a bunch of great people who are going to judge that class. And they can actually vie for best in show trophy on the field, which is pretty cool.
Rick Shad, thanks for joining us. It sounds like a great event. I hope we'll be able to get out there next year and say hi to Jay and Donald, who we love so much from Jay Leno's garage when you see him. And again, go to It's AUDRAIN concourse.com and check it out and get tickets. Thanks, Rick.
Thanks, Sam. We'll see you guys here next year for sure.
I hope so. It's beautiful. It's beautiful country.
Yeah.
So it's so weird. So Chris is like, the Newport Concourse. And I was like, oh, we have a Newport Concourse. And then he goes, Jay bought a house out there. And I, you and I had the exact same thing. He just bought a house in Newport?
Yeah. I was like, it seems kind of weird. And I'm pretty sure we talked about recently him buying a house. Like, I thought it was Connecticut or something. But yeah,
Rhode Island. Yes, he bought sort of a castle over there. What is the Gulf? What is the Corvette Gulf car, 1963 or whatever?
Yeah.
So what I was when I went, I saw the last Jay Leno's garage. He was driving the new mid-engine Corvette, and they were showing their experimental Corvettes through the years. And they had their first mid-engine one, but it was set up like an Indy car,
yeah,
or an F1 car. Then they had this really cool piece, which was a mid-engine Corvette, which was basically a GT40 fighter. Like, it was there to race, yeah, in those kinds of races.
And I saw them all on display at the C8 unveiling.
And they called it, it was sort of like Experiment 1, EX1,
yeah,
or whatever, 2, EX, whatever.
I don't remember what the naming was, but yeah, they had them there and they sort of had them in order. And I didn't know a lot of the history behind them, but it was interesting to walk up on them and kind of.
But I don't know. I'm trying to picture
photos of it.
What a Gulf 1963 Gulf Corvette race car is. Does that make?
Yeah,
you know what that
is? We can look it up. Those, some of those pictures from that C8 unveiling is probably up on my social media, and I took a few photos.
That car looked, sounded,
those
worked.
Ones you're talking
good.
About. Yeah. All right. Let me tell you about Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. Maybe you're dropping off some dry cleaning or picking up some milk. Now you can add, save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list, and you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. You just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Just go to geico.com.
Well, now we're looking at it. It's a early 60s vet that's kind of golfy, but not super golfy like you'd see in a golf livery of a 917.
But there was the early Corvette prototypes that you're also talking about that I saw them at that event, and I forgot what they were called. But you're right. They had sort of prototype-y kind of names like the EX1 or something along those lines.
Yeah, the first one was basically an Indy car, but the next one was kind of a sports car. That was kind of was a mid-engine that they said Zora Dantoff drove like at the testing grounds at like 220 miles an hour or something like that. I could never figure out why so many of those cars, even today, or maybe not today, but up until recently, Gulf 1 is what that vet was called.
Z06.
I could never figure out why so many cars were open cockpit cars for Le Mans.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, first off, it rains all the time. And then secondly, for aerodynamic purposes. And then thirdly, just for protection or whatever. Like, why? Why did they make so many open cockpit cars in that
maybe
era?
A weight issue? Maybe they were thinking.
I know, but it is a piece of light grade sheet aluminum that goes over your head.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a whole lot of weight.
Yeah.
All right. You can go to adamcarolla.com for all the live shows that are coming up, and there are a bunch of live shows, and check out Shift and Steer, available on iTunes and Podcast One as well, and support the show. Go to the website, carcastshow.com, and check us out on our Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Well, Matt's always providing stuff, and so is Chris. Their CarCast show. And follow Matt at Motorator as well.
Thank you.
So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Rick Shad and Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea, saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit carcastshow.com.